Good morning, Mr. Chairman and members of the board. My name is John Morales, and I'm an engineer at your Victorville office. I will give a short presentation for item number 12, the City of Victorville Industrial Wastewater Treatment Plant, Waste Discharge Requirements, and Water Recycling Requirements. I will refer to the city's treatment plant as the IWTP, an acronym for Industrial Wastewater Treatment Plant. In my presentation, I will describe the following points: a description of the project, the characteristics of the IWTP effluent, the effects on the receiving groundwater, the protection of water quality objectives, and lastly, I will make a recommendation. This project will do two things. It will provide recycled water uses at the Southern California Logistics Airport, or SCLA. And two, it will allow excess water to be disposed of at pond number 14, where limited groundwater degradation will occur. On this slide, the existing recycled water uses appear in green, and the new recycled water uses appear in red. This figure illustrates the project setting with the Mojave River flowing northerly adjacent to the Victor Valley Regional Plant, the IWTP, and SCLA. The percolation pond number 14, the authorized disposal site, is located on property owned by the Victor Valley Wastewater Reclamation Authority at its south percolation pond area, shown here. This order consolidates the requirements for the City of Victorville into single waste discharge and water reclamation requirements. Thus, the orders listed on page 12-34 of the permit in your agenda package will be rescinded. The IWTP currently operates at flows less than its design capacity of 2.5 million gallons per day, or MGD. Most of the plant effluent will be applied to recycled water uses. Only excess water, typically in winter months, would be disposed into pond 14 and average over the year at about 0.12 MGD. This is the same average flow rate of IWTP effluent currently delivered to the Victor Valley plant for treatment and disposal. The primary constituent of concern is the total dissolved solids, or salts. Unlike most constituents in drinking water that have a single numerical water quality objective, TDS is subject to a three-part secondary standard maximum contaminant level, or MCL, of 500, 1,000, and 1,500 milligrams per liter. Secondary MCLs are based on protecting taste and odor and are not based on health concerns. Effluent discharge from the IWTP will exceed the TDS recommended water quality objective of 500 milligrams per liter, but be less than the TDS upper water quality objective of 1,000 milligrams per liter. The IWTP design is for 60% domestic wastewater and 40% from industrial wastewater at the SCLA complex. Currently, the majority of source flow to the IWTP is industrial wastewater from the Snapple Dr. Pepper plant. The city plans to construct a lift station to divert the Federal Bureau of Prison flow to the IWTP. As the city grows, there will be an increasing percentage of domestic wastewater to be treated at the IWTP, thus causing a further reduction of the effluent TDS concentration. This map illustrates a more detailed view of Victor Valley's Wastewater Authority's treatment plant, with the boundaries indicated within the black dashed lines shown here. The Mojave River flows northerly here. The Victor Valley South Ponds, 7 through 13, shown here, are adjacent to the subject pond 14, shown here in blue hashing. A MIGSE model was used to evaluate degradation in the received groundwater. In this case, the mixing zone is an area where discharge from pond 14 mixes with the discharge from the adjacent Victor Valley South Ponds 7 through 13 and regional background groundwater flow. This map also illustrates the extent of degradation at 1,600 feet from the pond's centroid. The background groundwater TDS concentration of 444 milligrams per liter will blend with the city's pond 14 discharge to yield a change in receiving groundwater quality of 500 milligrams per liter at 1,600 feet from pond 14. Additionally, groundwater nitrate concentrations will be reduced as a result of the city's discharge. Since groundwater within the mixing zone will exceed a TDS concentration of 500 milligrams per liter, but remain less than 1,000 milligrams per liter, the assimilative capacity of the aquifer will provide for future discharges. A groundwater mound is predicted to form as discharge from pond 14 blends into the regional flow. Within the 1,600 feet radius, the degradation remains localized, and there are no wells that would be impacted. The city's discharge to pond 14 of 0.12 MGD will be a small fraction of the adjacent Victor Valley wastewater pond discharge of 8 MGD. On a mass balance basis, the amount of salt delivered to the aquifer will remain the same, considering that the city is currently discharging to Victor Valley Wastewater Plant. The only difference is the change in disposal site to pond 14, with a slightly more concentration of salt. The degree of TDS degradation is therefore acceptable, considering the socioeconomic benefits to sustain a healthy economy in the Victor Valley. Given the need to protect the groundwater resource and the potential for constituents to pass through or interfere with the IWTP, the proposed order requires the discharger to comply with the following. 1. Maintain tiered TDS effluent limits based upon the amount of flow to the treatment plant. As the discharge flow rate to pond 14 increases, there is a need for a more stringent TDS effluent limit. 2. Ensure that the received groundwater TDS concentration of 500 milligrams per liter at 1,600 feet from pond 14 is not exceeded. 3. Implement an industrial pretreatment program that will include salinity controls as necessary. 4. Implement a monitoring network to evaluate groundwater quality at the edge of the mixing zone. And 5. Submit monitoring and reports to assess overall compliance with the order. At this point, I would like to recommend the board adopt the waste discharge and water recycling requirements. I will be happy to entertain any questions that you may have.
Are there any questions, Mr. Jardine? Ms. Cox?
No.
Dr. Horn?
Yeah. Well, first I have a comment, and that is, I mean, these thoughts are not directed to this per se, but in general, when we're talking about projects like this, I think it's important to give the board, whenever you're talking about an impact, to give the board a sense of the time period over which this impact is expected to occur, just knowing that there's an impact without any sideboards about what kind of time frame we're talking about isn't very helpful. And then I would like to understand, and again, this isn't about this per se, but just in general, when we're talking about TDS impacts, why do we talk about concentrations and not mass balance? And maybe this is something to schedule a workshop so that I understand this better at some future board meeting. But it seems to me if we're adding salts to the groundwater, we're adding salts to the groundwater. And to me, the fact that the salts are going to be diluted by future inputs to the plant is irrelevant, because we're still adding the same amount of mass of TDS to the groundwater. So if there's something I don't understand and this is a longer conversation, we can postpone it, but okay.
Dr. Horn, this is Mike Plasiak, supervising engineer and geologist in the Victorville office. I think to answer the question about mass balance, certainly mass balance, it has relevance for different kind of questions that we have to ask. Mm-hmm. Salt loading to the basin. And certainly as we're working through the ERRIC process, Mojave Water Agency, we're going to be looking at that basin by basin and sub-basin by sub-basin. For permitting purposes, we talk about milligram per liter because that's how we monitor compliance with the permit. Mm-hmm. And that's the distinction between the two. Does that mean that we're not looking at both? Well, clearly we are. From this discussion, we have looked at the mass balance, and that was a consideration with this permit, you know, separating a discharge between two different entities versus just going through VBWA system to the same part of the aquifer. So we are looking at that as well.
So are you saying that we're going to have a picture of the mass balance questions when the salt and nutrient management plan is done? Is that what you're telling me?
Well, that's certainly that's where we want to be.
Okay.
You know, the modeling efforts that are taking place with Mojave Water Agency are going to give us on a basin-wide and sub-basin-wide kind of perspective how different discharges or sources are going to affect the salinity.
Okay.
All right, but and certainly the major sources, the VVWRA or other dairies or those types of things, are being considered and worked into that modeling effort.
Okay. All right, thank you.
Mr. Dias?
No questions, thank you.
Mr. Sandell?
No questions.
I have no questions. Is there anyone from the public here who wishes to address this matter? Hearing no one? What is the pleasure of the board?
I move the staff recommendation.
I second.
And moved and seconded that we approve the staff recommendation. Any comments from any board member before we vote? Seeing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Item 13. This is a time and place for the California Regional Water Quality Control Board, Lehigh.